I felt the Lord leading me away from our book studies for this service, also for the service tonight as we're preparing for Friend Day next week, special service tonight, just simple thoughts. But this morning I couldn't get away from this thought. And I want to be guilty of following the Lord's leading. And for some reason the Lord has laid this thought on my heart this morning, and I want to be a help and a blessing and encouragement to you. While you're finding your place there in Mark chapter number 5, let me just reemphasize a couple of things here. You'll notice in the bulletin, if you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, that Monday night of the revival with Dr. Comfort, he has established that as deacon Sunday school teacher night. Basically what that is just you all working to get people back to the house of God on Monday night. He'll say more about this when he gets here, but if you're a deacon or a Sunday school teacher, that's what that particular night is about. And then our big announcement is this Friend Day. I'm giving you time to find the book of Mark. I hope you've already found it. But anyway, this Friend Day is so vitally important. We try to have one huge day a year. Now, we have special pushes throughout the year, but one big day. And this is our big day of the year, Friend Day. And I encourage you to pull out all the stops. As a matter of fact, if you're a Sunday school teacher or a superintendent, or you're a bus captain, would you raise your hand, all of you, please? This is the day that you need to contact everybody on your roll. Do not let this week come and go without making visits, without making phone calls, all of that. God willing, I'll be saying a little bit more about visitation tonight. Maybe not too much more, but anyway, this is that day. Do not let anybody on your roster go without finding out at least about Friend Day next week. Please work hard at this. Get out. Let's shake the bushes. Let's visit. Let's knock on doors. Be here on Saturday to help us saturate our area. All of this. Again, I'll say a little bit more about this tonight, God willing, but I wanted to mention it this morning as well. Mark chapter number 5. We're going to read from verses 21 down through the end of the chapter. There's a thought here that the Lord has laid on my heart, that for some reason I cannot get away from it. And this is something that can be a real help to you during life in general today. Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus was passing, was passed over again by a ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she knelt, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. He said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. He suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. He cometh into the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. When he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel's not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn, but when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, entereth in where the damsel was lying. He took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was at the age of 12 years. They were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it. and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in the room when the Lord took the dead girl's hand and said, "Damsel, I say unto thee, arise." And she arose. I want to preach to you on a subject. It's a question that Jairus' servants ask him. It's found in verse number 35. In context here, Jairus comes to the Lord and he says, he falls at the Lord's feet and he worships him. And another gospel account tells us this, that he worshiped the Lord. And he said, "My daughter is sick and she's going to die. Would you please come with me?" I'm paraphrasing this story. The Lord gets up and he begins to walk and he begins to go. And during this time, this lady with this issue of blood touches the hem of his garment. Put yourself in Jairus' shoes. He's in a hurry, you understand. He wants to get the Lord back to his house quickly. And the Lord stops. Now imagine Jairus, "What are you doing?" But he stops and he deals with this lady. And during this time, his daughter dies. His servants come to him and they say, "Your daughter is now dead." "Why troublest thou the master any further?" It's over with, you see. Why bother him any longer? I'm glad they asked that question, because our text answers it. Could it be that I'm talking to somebody that you've been praying for something for a long time, and you wonder, what's the use? You wonder, is it all over with? All hope is gone. And the devil whispers in your heart, "Just stop praying. Why trouble him any further?" I'm going to tell you something, friends. By the time this message is over, we're going to understand that he wants to be troubled further. And when you trouble him further, he can do great and mighty, mighty things. I want to answer this question for you this morning. Are you with me out there? Amen? Let's pray together. Father, would you touch this service? Speak to our hearts. Help me, Lord, to preach with power. God, you know my heart. I want the power of God. And I pray, Holy Spirit of God, that you empower me like you never have. I pray that you'll take these thoughts and help somebody today. May you do business with us. In Jesus' name. Amen. This ruler by the name of Jairus' daughter, by the way, it's his only daughter. We find this in Luke chapter 8, verse 42. It's his only daughter. She's at the point of death. And this particular day, Jesus is in town. Jairus sees him and makes an approach to him. Just by means of introduction, let me give you several things that just summarized his approach. This is just introduction. First of all, it was a humble approach. Because in verse 22, the Bible says he fell at his feet. In other words, he realized that he needed Jesus. He humbly approached him. Secondly, it was a worshipful approach. I've already told you this, but in Matthew chapter 9, verse 18, the same passage here, just a different human penman. The Bible says he fell at his feet and he worshiped him. He came to him humble. He came to him worshiping him. It was a fervent approach, number three, because in verse 23 in our text it says he besought him. He begged him. He pleaded with him. And then number four, it was a specific approach. In verse 23, he said, "That she may be healed." And folks, may I say to us today that God is looking for this same fourfold approach. He wants us to come to him humbly. He wants us to come to him worshiping him and come to him fervently and come to him specifically. And after Jairus' approach, I know I've already said this, but let me just say it again, just building the groundwork here. The Lord took action by going with him in verse 24. But as Jesus and Jairus were traveling, the Bible tells us that Jesus was thronged. And in verses 25 to 34, we see this woman pressing through the crowd and touching the hem of his garment. And even though Jairus, no doubt, is in a hurry, trying to get Jesus to his daughter in time, the Lord stops and he deals with this woman. I was preaching at a youth rally Friday night. God broke my heart. And I told those teenagers, I said, when I feel God, when I feel his presence, I cry. And for some reason, I feel God's presence here this morning. I know God's trying to help somebody. Maybe it's you. I'm telling you this morning that this man was in a hurry. And the Lord stops and he deals with this woman. And the news comes to Jesus and comes to Jairus at this time. And this man hears that his daughter is now dead. And oh, how this must have broken his heart. Get it? If only he hadn't been thronged. If only he hadn't stopped for this lady. No doubt these thoughts could have gone through Jairus' mind. And those who brought the news to Jairus then ask a question. Why troublest thou the master any further? Another way of asking that same question would be, why trouble him any further when hope is gone? Why trouble him any further when death is set in? Why trouble him any further when time has seemingly run out? I'm glad they asked that question, because in our text I see three major reasons why we ought to trouble him further when it seems that death is set in, time has run out, and all hope is gone. Three reasons why we ought to trouble him further. Number one, we ought to trouble him further, first of all, because of his name. May I say this in verse 21, the Bible says, when Jesus passed over. Verse 24, and Jesus went with him. Verse 36, and as soon as Jesus heard the word. May I say to you that one reason, when all hope is gone, when time seemingly run out, when death is set in, one major reason why you ought to keep on troubling the Lord, why you ought to keep on approaching the Lord, why you ought to keep on praying to Jesus and keep on holding on to God, is because of who you're praying to. His name is Jesus. And what a precious name that is. What a wonderful name that is. The name above every name. The name that every knee will bow to and every tongue will confess to. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. A Methodist preacher by the name of Luther Bridges was born in 1884. He married Sarah Veach, and three lovely sons were born of their union. Pastor Bridges accepted an invitation to minister at a conference in Kentucky in the year of 1910. So he left his family in the care of his father-in-law and made the trip to Kentucky. There, two wonderful weeks of ministry resulted, and the last service closed with great joy, and he was excited to be called to the telephone. He couldn't wait to tell his wife about all the blessings. But it wasn't her voice on that long-distance line. He listened in silence to the news that a fire had burned down the house of his father-in-law. And his wife and all three of his sons had died in a blaze. That distraught father leaned heavily on his Savior and expressed his faith in God during a tearful moment by penning these words, "There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still. In all of life's ebb and flow. All my life was wrecked by sin and strife. Discord filled my heart with pain. Jesus swept across the broken strings, stirred the slumbering chords again. Feasting on the riches of his grace, resting neath his sheltering wing. Always looking on his smiling face, that is why I shout and sing. Though sometimes he leads through waters deep, trials fall across the way. Though sometimes the path seems rough and steep, see his footprints all the way. Soon he's coming back to welcome me far beyond the starry sky.
I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown. I shall reign with him on high. And the chorus goes, and I've got the crud, so don't listen to I'm talking about to this voice down deep in a bucket. But the chorus goes, Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. May I say to you this morning, that one reason to keep on troubling God, to keep on troubling the Master, is we're not troubling any mere man. We are troubling God. We are troubling Jesus. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. And He wants to help you. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to come through when all hope is gone. The Bible says in Acts 4:10, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. One reason to trouble him further is because of his name. He is God. Second reason to keep troubling him. Why trouble the Master any further? Not only because of his name, but number two, because of his word. We see this in verse 36. Notice what the Lord said. I'm talking about when the news came to Jairus. I mean, here it is. The Lord knows the beginning from the end and everything in between. The Lord knew what he was doing. He always does. He's never late. It doesn't matter what sets in. He's always on time. And here he is. He's on his way to Jairus' home. He's being thronged. He stops purposely to deal with this lady with an issue of blood. He knows that during this time, these servants are going to make their way to Jairus, who is with him, by the way. The servants come and they tell Jairus, your daughter is now dead. You know what I'm glad of? I'm glad it didn't take the Lord by surprise. I'm glad he already knew what was taking place. And here he is, this man hears the news, his daughter is dead. Why trouble the Master any further? And the Lord heard this. Notice it, verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith. In other words, as soon as he heard the word, he spoke to Jairus. And here's what he said, be not afraid, only believe. In those five words, I see four things. Four things that the Word of God did during this time of Jairus' heart hanging outside of his chest. I'm talking about his life is shattered at his feet. He's just lost his baby girl. And here it is, his heart's hanging out, his life is shattered at his feet, and the Lord speaks to him. Four things I hear about the Word of God here. This is another reason to keep troubling, because he said something. He spoke something. Four things. Number one, his word comprehended this man's hurt. When he said, be not afraid, you know what this means? He knew what Jairus was feeling. He knew Jairus was afraid. He knew Jairus was brokenhearted. You know what this tells me? He understands. You know one of the beautiful things about the Lord? If nobody else knows what you're going through, he does. If nobody else understands how you feel, he does. He knows. He understands. He comprehends. The Bible says in Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. You know what that tells us? He knows how we feel. It comprehended this man's hurt. Number two, it comforted this man's heart. Same phrase, be not afraid. Jesus tried to comfort him. Hey, am I talking to somebody that you've been going through a trial in the past? Or maybe you're currently going through a trial and you have purposely gone to God's Word and maybe the trial doesn't get any better, but He gives you comfort in the middle of it.
That's happened to me. You ever gone to God when you didn't know where else? I'm talking about folks, there's nowhere else to go. You're brokenhearted, you're crying, you're weeping. You feel all alone, troubled, and afraid. And God says, go to my word, and you go to his word, and he speaks to you. And he comforts your heart. There's nothing quite like that, is there? I didn't say he removes the trial, but he'll give you peace. He'll give you comfort. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Psalm 119:50, this is my comfort in all my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me. Psalm 119:76, let I pray thee, thy merciful kindness be for my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. The word of God not only comprehended this man's hurt, he knew how he felt, but it comforted this man's heart. He tried to give him rest and peace and comfort. The word of God comforted this man in his time of heartache and sorrow. Number three, his word channeled this man's focus. What I mean by that, he said, be not afraid. In that statement, he comprehended his hurt. In other words, he knew how he felt. He comforted his heart. He tried to give him peace. But you move to the next phrase, only believe. This is the third thing. He channeled this man's focus. The Lord used his word to take this man's focus off of his own current problem and circumstance and focus on him. Yes, this was terrible news. Yes, this was awful news. But the Lord said, only believe. Believe what? What was he doing? He's saying, only believe me. It's not what you believe, it's who you believe. It's who you believe. And I'm saying that when we focus on the Word of God, it channels our focus away from our problems and it puts it on the person of Jesus Christ. You ever said this? It's beyond hope. It's over. There's no way to settle it. I mean, death is set in. It's finished. If that is how you feel about anything in life, your focus is on the problem. It is not on the person of Jesus Christ. Because there are no hopeless situations with Jesus. Amen this morning. There are no hopeless situations with Jesus Christ. Channeled this man's focus. Fourth and final thing about the Word of God, that same phrase, only believe, it challenged this man's faith. What I mean by that is, according to human knowledge, the situation was gone. His daughter's dead. But there's always hope when Jesus is present. 2 Chronicles 20:20, believe in the Lord your God. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Word of God challenges us to believe God, even in the worst of circumstances. Number one, we're looking at this question, why troublest thou the Master any further? Why do you keep going? Why keep going to him when death is set in, when hope is gone, when time is run out? Why trouble him further? Because of his name, he's Jesus. Because of his word, he speaks to us and he understands what we're going through. Folks, he challenges our faith. He channels our focus. He comforts our heart. He wants us to keep coming to him. Then number three, we should keep troubling the Master. Not only because of his name and because of his word, but number three, because of his power. We see this in verses 38 through 43. I'm not going to read it again. We see in these verses how the Lord Jesus came to the house where the little girl and her body was lying in state. He went into the room. Matter of fact, before that, he said, she's only asleep. They laughed at him. He didn't really respond to that. He just put them all out. He took the three with him and the girl's mom and daddy. And he goes into the room. Now keep in mind, his name is Jesus. He's the one you pray to. Amen. You don't pray to Mary, you pray to Jesus. Amen. And you pray to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you keep coming to him, you're talking to God. And when God came to that house, God's power came to that house. And he walked into that room and he grabbed the little girl by the hand. And he said, damsel, in English. Of course, the other language is here. But he said, damsel, I say unto you, arise. He who is life spoke directly to death, and his power caused death to yield. And straightway, the Bible says in verse 42, straightway, immediately, the damsel arose and walked. I've got right here in my notes what power he has. What power he has. The Bible tells us in one of the Chronicles here, chapter 29, verse 11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Psalm 21, 13, be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. Psalm 147, 5, great is our Lord. And of great power. Matthew 28, 18, and Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I'm trying to help you this morning. Who is here today? Don't raise your hand, but you know who you are. Who among us today? There's something going on in your life, and right now the Holy Spirit of God is telling you, I had the pastor preach this for you. I had the pastor, I laid this on his heart specifically because I love you. And I want you to keep troubling me. Keep coming to me. Keep asking me. Keep believing me. Keep begging me. Why should you do that? Because of his name. He's Jesus. Because of his word, he knows. He understands what you're feeling. He'll comfort you if you'll go to his word. He'll channel your focus. He'll try to get your eyes off your problem and onto him. He'll challenge your faith. He just wants you to believe. And also because of his power, there is nothing too hard for God. Nothing. Do you believe that this morning? There's nothing too hard for God. Old black preacher, I heard him say this. Man, you ought to hear this man say this. I've got it typed out here because I'm going to say it to you. Just praising Jesus. Basically, the sermon today is this. He's God. He loves you. You're not troubling him. You just keep praying. And if he wants to step in and take care of your problem, he can. Amen. Here's what that old black preacher said. I can hear him now. Oh, I tell you. I encourage you to go find it. I don't have his name here. Some of y'all might know it, not know him. But he put it this way. Basically, what I'm saying to you is the reason we ought to keep troubling him is because of who he is. He's God. Here's what that preacher said. Said he's the king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's the king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's the king of the ages. He's the king of heaven. He's the king of glory. He's the king of kings and lord of lords. That's my Jesus. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. No barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. That's my Jesus. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands alone in himself.
He's unparalleled, unprecedented, supreme, preeminent. He's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest idea in philosophy. He's the fundamental truth in theology. He's the cardinal necessity of spiritual religion. That's my Jesus. He's the miracle of the age. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and saves. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick and he cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. He beautifies the meek. That's my Jesus. He goes on to say, well, my King is the King of knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of the governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's my Jesus. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens cannot contain him, let alone explain him. You can't outlive him and you can't live without him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they couldn't, right here, they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses at his trial couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him. And the grave couldn't hold him. That's my Jesus. He always has been and he always will be. I'm talking about he who had no predecessor and he who has no successor. There was nobody before him and there will be nobody after him. You can't impeach him and he's not going to resign. Praise the Lord. That's my Jesus. And I'm telling you, he's the one that wants you to keep troubling him. Why troublest thou the master any further? Because of who he is, his name, his word, his power. And I wonder this morning, do you need to keep troubling him? That's my Jesus. How about you? That preacher got it pretty straight right there, friends. And I'm telling you, I'm glad that when all hope is gone from the human standpoint, my God is not limited by my weaknesses. And he wants me to keep on coming to him. And I'm challenging you today, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. You get on your face in humility, worshiping fervently, specifically begging God, trust him, believe him because of his name, his word, and his power. And may God help us to keep troubling him. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, bless this. Help us, encourage us, challenge us, mold us, and make us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. As we begin the invitation time, I never want to let a service come and go without giving somebody who's lost the opportunity to trust Christ as their personal Savior. On Friday night in Stanton, Virginia, when I preached a youth rally, there was a teenage boy who raised his hand saying he was not sure he was saved. He did not respond, but the Lord laid on my heart just to kind of check. I went to his seat, which I will not do here, but I went to his seat. I'm talking about today. I'm not going to do that. But I went to his seat and tears coming down his face. Long story short, he allowed me to take a Bible, go to the back of the auditorium with him, and I led him to Jesus Christ. Maybe God's speaking to somebody this morning, and that's you. You know in your heart that if the worst thing happened, you died today, you would not go to heaven.
or you're concerned that you would not. Folks, I'm trying to tell you something. The greatest decision you'll ever make is a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. As they begin to play through softly, I wonder today, is there somebody here? I will not come to your seat. I will not embarrass you. I will not do anything to draw attention to you. But if you say, Pastor, this is me, you're talking to me. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Or maybe you know you're lost. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. I do not have peace in my heart that I'm going to hell. I want that peace, but I don't have it. Anybody like that, you say, pray for me. I'm concerned about my salvation. Would you raise your hand? Is there anybody like that? You say, pray for me. I'm concerned about my salvation. Anybody? Now, let me ask you this question. How about it, Christian? Did God speak to you today? Did the Lord speak to you? With this thought on why troublest thou the Master any further? Hey, I'm not even talking. Yes, I am talking specifically to folks that you feel like death is set in and all hope is gone and the time has run out. Sure, that's an obvious application here, but it could be just something that death's not set in yet, nothing like that, but you've just kind of been lackadaisical in your prayer life toward that. And God's put his finger on it and says, I want you to pray about it. I want you to pray about it. I want you to pray about it. In other words, has God encouraged you to pray is what I'm asking. Have you today say, Pastor Jody, I needed this. I needed this message tonight today. God has used it. If that's you, would you raise your hand? You say, I needed this. I needed it. Amen. Amen. Put your hand down. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to pray, and Brother Gary's going to begin to sing. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, why don't you come? If nothing else, just to say thank you for speaking to me, Lord. This is it. Father, take it and use it, I pray. May you be pleased with the response now in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing. If you need to respond as soon as he starts, you come on now. Would you please come now?
Only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Keep singing, Brother Gary. We'll give people some
time. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe.
Keep on singing, Brother Gary.
Pray and receive. Pray and receive. All things are possible, only believe. Pray and receive, pray and receive. All things are possible, pray and receive.
They're playing through softly, folks are praying. If you look this way for just a moment, we're about done. Aren't you glad that nothing's too big to take to God? I'm serious. Where would we be if God said, that's a little bit too big for me to handle right there?
No, that's beyond me. You know what he's looking for? He's challenging my own heart here. But he's just looking for somebody to believe him. Just believe him. We need to believe him. Easier said than done, isn't it? Yes? Easier said than done, I know. No doubt about it. Why don't we do it this way? I want to have some of you gather up here at the altar. Some of you who are especially in leadership. In our closing prayer, I'd like to just, let's ask God to help us believe him. I think it's a worthy request, don't you? Nothing wrong with getting honest with God and saying, Lord, I can't tell you how often I've said what that old sinner said in the New Testament, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. I think it'd be good for us just to pray and say, God, help us to believe. We believe, help our unbelief. And help us to go forward. Why don't we do that? Why don't some of you leaders come on? If you'll gather up here with me, if you don't mind to do that. Some of you leaders, come on up here with me from the balcony down below. Just if the Lord's prompting you to do this, I want you to come. Just feel led to do this. The Lord wants to be believed. We limit him so much, you know what I mean? May God help us here. No doubt about it. Brother Butch Abbott, if you wouldn't mind, sir, I'm going to have you come to the pulpit. I'd like for you to close us in prayer, but focus on this, that we just be a church of people that know God and believe God, that he forgives us for our lack of faith, all of this. He'll help us to believe him. I appreciate you, sir. God bless you. You come right here and dismiss us, please.
All right, we'll close in prayer then. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the message this morning because your word was given as it needs to be given in a way we can understand and in a way we can follow. The problem is never with you, it's always with us. The problem in this story today was not with the Savior, it was in the ability of the people to look to the Savior and love the Savior, trust the Savior and follow him. And that's still our problem today, is being able to just to trust you, that you know absolutely every single thing that you give us to do, if we'll just be faithful and follow you, to believe in you, to just take a leap by blind faith, knowing that your great hands will be there to catch us, because it might be blind to us, but it's never blind to you. When you tell us to step out, that we'll just step out, knowing that you'll tell us which way to step and where to go. As leaders and as other workers and members of the church, that every one of us in our place will just love you so much that we can't help but trust you. To not trust you is just not to love you. So help us to love you so much that we just can't help but to trust you and to walk with you anywhere and any way you tell us. So thank you for the service this morning. May you be accomplishing some things in our hearts that will help us to see some great days ahead. We pray this morning, Father, thanking you once again for the Savior. Thank you for your Son. What a lovely, matchless Savior we have in Jesus. Thank you in his precious name. Amen.